guided by spirit to be present in this holy moment, just as we are. No need to change anything or be a certain way. Coming together in a space of sacred love. I love you. Needing nothing. And being exactly as we are created to be. Having chosen to be here now, in a body, with a name, a face, a personality, a voice, a mind, and feeling. Remembering to trust in the love, the union, the connection, the all-knowing, all-present, whole being that we are together. And yes, in this space and every space, we're given an opportunity to forgive and let go, to undo, to delete, to release that which in any way separates us from the one self, the one we are created to be, easily, naturally, joyfully, peacefully. Knowing in that being, all is well, always has been, always will be, and we can be happy here, knowing that. So you can share with me if you like, I am one self, united with my creator, as one with every aspect of creation, unlimited in power and in peace. And so it is, all good, as we welcome the next being here. Hi. So we'll spread out a little bit.
Is anybody allergic to dogs?
No.
If they all take her out.
Thank you. So we're just going to
pull back
this circle just a little bit. How sweet that we're all here.
Yeah.
Oh, and there is the puppy girl. Good. Good, good, good. So what's the topic, Robert?
Receive only good.
So guess what? You are the reception.
Yeah.
This is the good. This is the good.
It's funny.
We're receiving the goods right here, right now. Anybody else coming that you're aware of? Sometimes Carol and Bill come.
Yeah.
We never know.
Yeah. Rick is here.
And Loretta, huh? Rick is coming.
To.
Okay. And Loretta is here, and I just wrote her an email and said, "Where are you, girl? I've missed you."
My computer went away.
Oh, it looked, huh?
That's where I was last year.
And look at all these orange kids here. There's an orangey and a corally. You're corally.
That's it.
Yeah, good. Oh, and you're corally too, right over there. I see it.
Oh, nice.
You see it all, yeah? Color coordinated here. So, announcement first, and the announcement is that we have one more Saturday meeting next week at 3:45, and then Robert and Betty Lou are going to poof themselves, except for once a month, we will be here for a workshop on a Saturday morning, and it's listed somewhere in one of those papers over there. But it's next Saturday that we're doing, actually, I won't say primarily you, but it starts with Robert doing Life, Purpose, and Direction next Saturday morning from 9:30 to 12. And it's a goodie because it's some of the stuff that all of you may have had before with him. But I'm going to move it a little bit. I'm going to expand it a little bit, pop it open a little bit, because I think what's happened right here in our world, this locale world, but also in the greater world, is there is a wake-up call going on that some of us have not yet known how to respond to. You know, we tend to stay insular, you know, I like my little counseling room and the little people I see and all that stuff. But quite honestly, they open my eyes. Everybody who comes into my presence, including you, opens my eyes. We've got a world that is inviting us to wake up and expand our capacity for love, expand our capacity for inner listening. That's why we have been calling this inner faith. It's to listen inside for guidance. And I have a feeling that we are fascinated by what's outside and what everybody's saying out there, so we don't sit quietly often enough to listen inside. How am I called to respond to whatever's going on right now? You see it in politics, you see it in economics, you see it in, I'll say, neighborhoods and friendships and institutions like education and health services and the VA. Actually, the VA is actually doing better, which is really a good thing because some of you guys spoke up. So there's a way in which we're all being called to respond, but if you react to the external, you get yourself caught up in that dynamic, that pain, pleasure, that fighting. That was my inner guidance right now, looking at there are landmines in this world to wake us up, or there are subtle whispers to wake us up. A little ache or a little pain, all of that, every little tiny innuendo is trying to ask us to listen inside. Not to cover it up with medication or cover it up with prayer or cover it up with all this stuff. By the way, I did say prayer. I heard myself say that. Because a lot of it is used as a cover-up rather than a response, a natural heart space response to what's being called for. So, the near accidents, or you see something on the road, or all of that stuff is asking us to quiet ourselves, come back in, not out, come back in and ask, how do I respond to this? So Robert has told me 3 times what the topic is today, and you want to know what? I do not remember. He told me just literally probably 3 minutes ago when I asked. So, your turn.
Yeah.
It's true.
So it's fun. Thank you guys, by the way. This
it's
is
exciting.
The last couple of weeks we've undone the big circle and turned around because there's been people on the couch. So we started out small today and then we came out around big. So this is good. So thank you much. So the topic is receive only good. That's what you wrote down for the topic a long time ago. And so what I want to say, since you're talking about it being inside,
mm-hmm.
For me, when I talk about receive only good, it's about create only good. And here's the difference, okay? If I remember who I am, if I have any inkling of the truth of who I'm created to be, then I know that whatever good I receive, I have chosen for, I have created, I have said yes to. If I am on the forgetting side of the spectrum, if I sort of identified more with the world and less with my true essence, then I'm going to be focused more on receiving, which implies, basically, someone, something out there is giving me something or providing something for me, and then I just have to open up and receive it. Does that make any sense? So it, in some ways, if I see myself as big enough, then I'm actually giving to myself, and I can create good, and I can receive that good. But if I'm a little too small, then I've forgotten that I'm the creator, and there's still good all around there, but I'm just looking where can I say yes to it. Now, if you've really forgotten, you're not even looking for good, okay? But I'm assuming we're all in this kind of remember, sort of forgotten spectrum, and so that's where we play. And so that's why, for me, it all comes down to the third unity principle, since everybody here is familiar with unity, okay? You know, thoughts create. And I think it says exactly, we're creators as God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. And A Course in Miracles says it a little differently. It says, child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy. Now, because I might forget to say this next Saturday, I hope I don't, so you might hear it again if you come. next Saturday morning at the workshop. When I look at life purpose, one of the things that, and you were referring to this right now, is that the world is changing. And I could say we're all changing, we're all getting older, we're all kind of moving along, we're evolving into the next phase of our life or whatever it is. And we tend to, I'm going to guess, the world at any rate, tends to look at life purpose as something it applies to age, you know, 20 to 50 or 60. And after that, you're retired, and before that, you're still growing up, okay? And so what I want to say, and if I don't say it Saturday, just remember this, okay? When we look at life purpose, one of the things I want to do is I want to look at my life purpose and the fact that it is exactly the same life purpose in all the phases of my life, in all the different aspects of the world in which I find myself. It's just expressed differently. And so part of our job is to say, how am I expressing my life purpose now in this circumstance? What you said, how am I called to respond? And recognize it isn't like, well, what's my purpose now? I've already done that, you know. No, it's the same purpose, whatever it is. And we just get to see that what we're doing now is really on purpose. Hope that makes some sense. Because this all has, again, to do with, for me, creating or receiving only good. You know, thoughts create, and child of God, you were created to create only the good, the beautiful, and holy. You know, we don't have to learn to create. We actually are all already perfect creators. And here's the tricky part. Sometimes we're busy creating stuff we don't like as much or more as we are busy creating stuff we do like. But we are the creator. So, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever the product is, and it's like, oh, I created that. Good. See, I've often said that I would rather work with somebody who has made a mess of their life in the worldly sense, but they know that they're the ones who screwed it up, than I would work with somebody who's just totally at the effect of the world and has no clue what's going on and why they're a victim. Because if I work with somebody who knows that they have created this, good, bad, or indifferent, it's just very simple. You don't have to teach them their creator. You just have to help them wake up to creating more of what they want. You're refining a skill, not trying to convince people that they really have a skill that they think they don't or that they've disidentified with. So just know we are all perfect creators right now in everything that we're doing. And we're not always creating things that we like. So that gives us a different way to respond. We got a chair for you over there, Rick, if you want.
Thank you. Okay. I've got cold or allergy. I'm not sure of one or the other, but
well, I don't care. We're not allergic to you. So in my usual way, I want to read a couple of things to you. Marianne Williams had said, "We can always choose to perceive things differently. You can focus on what's wrong in your life, or you can focus on what's right." And the I Ching in 42nd hexagram says, "The superior man, seeing what is good, imitates it. Seeing what is bad, he corrects himself." And Buddha said, "Mind is the forerunner of all evil states. Mind is chief."
Mind. Thank you.
"Is the forerunner of all evil states. Mind is chief. Mind made are they. If one speaks or acts with wicked mind, suffering follows one, even as the wheel follows the hoof of the ox." Next line. Sounds similar. "Mind is the forerunner of all good states. Mind is chief. Mind made are they. If one speaks or acts with pure mind, goodness follows one, even as one's shadow that never leaves. All saying the same thing. Whatever we have, good, bad, or indifferent, it comes from what we're thinking, how we're using our mind, where we're focusing. Now, there's a piece in the Tao that I like, because it actually talks about a way to position ourselves to recognize the good that's already surrounding us. And I said it that way on purpose, by the way. There is absolute perfect good for each one of us present right now, right here, in this world, in this room, in our lives. We just don't always recognize it. Or you could say another way, we're sort of out of sync with it, you know. We're on the first floor, it's on the second floor. I mean, it's like it's there in the house. We just haven't found a way to connect with it. So I like this piece, and I like it because I like the analogy of water, by the way, which is really good. So the supreme good is like water, which nourishes all things without trying to. You understand? Water doesn't say, oh, I want to go try and water that plant. I want to go try and fill that ditch. I want to go, you know, wash that off. Water just nourishes all things without trying to. It's automatic. It's just the way it is. It is content with low places that people disdain. Thus, it is like the Tao. The Tao being the way is the definition of that word. So understand what it's saying, that water, I mean, if you look at a field and it's got ruts in it, the first place water goes is to fill up the low spots. And everybody wants to be on the high spots. Water starts where there's need, starts where there's emptiness, starts where there's depression, okay? The Tao or goodness is ready to fill up all of those low spots first, automatically. Not because it says, oh, there's a need, but because it's the nature of water to go to the low spots first. So this goes on now, and I see this part as kind of an instruction guide for us to put ourselves in a position to receive the good. In dwelling, live close to the ground. In thinking, keep to the simple. In conflict, be fair and generous. In governing, don't try to control. In work, do what you enjoy. In family life, be completely present. And it closes this little section here. When you are content to be simply yourself and don't compare or compete, everyone will respect you. So to me, that's all about how to put ourselves in the way of the good. Yes. That's from the Tao Te Ching. And I don't know which one, so I didn't write that down. Yeah, but it's in one of those, in the book of the Tao. Yeah.
Every translation sounds a little different. The same.
Yeah. So I'm going to go a verse from the Old Testament, and I'm going to kind of come back again. Remember I talked about this spectrum of remembering and forgetting, the spectrum of being knowing we're at cause versus being at the effect. And when we are forgetting, you know, we're looking for someone or something to give us good. When we're remembering, we're creating good. Well, Old Testament was kind of during the times of lots of forgetting. And it's not unusual, by the way, in terms of religions, because most religions were formed around an external God out there who provided for those of us who are needy or who have forgotten. And that's because people who don't remember who they are need to go someplace where they can get what they think to get, they need to get, until they do remember who they are. So the Old Testament was really about a God who was this father figure who was a little, you know, whimsical sometimes. I mean, and not necessarily happy whimsical. I mean, it's like punishing God or rewarding God. Okay? Happy, unhappy. Very full of personality. But a God who basically took care of us if we were good. And in Deuteronomy 5, it says, walk straight down the road God commands so that you will have a good life and live a long time. Now, you could take that as, okay, God's given me this map, and God says, walk down this road physically, because we tend to go, okay, there's the map, let me follow the street, okay? But what if walk down the road that God commands is more about how we be, how we see ourselves, how we hold ourselves, how we relate to the world and all of this that we've created here. But that's the way to align ourselves with good, basically is walk the road that God commands. And, of course, different religions will give you different definitions of what that road is. And whether it's a road that has very clear signs and narrow pathways and speed bumps all on the side, okay, or whether it's more open. But it's the same thing. In Romans, you know, this is the all things work together for good. But so I want to say, it's real clear to me here that all things work together for good is true. But there are conditions. So I like to say all things can work together for good. Because sometimes they say, well, it'll all work out. All is in God's hands. I mean, you know, he'll take care of it or whatever God's will is or for the highest good. Okay. But there are some conditions. And this is real, real simple. He said, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and live according to his purpose for them. Hence life purpose next week. Didn't know that, but that's what. So understand the conditions. You love God. And by the way, that doesn't matter where we are in this spectrum of remembering, forgetting, of oneness and duality. It doesn't make any difference. You love God in whatever way you know God. You love God. Everything works together for good if you love God. And who live according to his purpose for them. And so, each of us has our own purpose, and maybe what we'll say is each of us has our own expression of our purpose, because I would venture to say that there might be some overall purpose for this whole thing that we've created here, and we're all playing our individual parts in that, and so you can take it to lots of levels. But if we actually personalize it, individualize it, as we tend to do in the world, because this is a world of duality, then once we are clear on what our purpose is, as long as we live according to that purpose, then all things work together for good. And that means whether we understand it or whether we don't. You know, there are times that you've done absolutely the right thing and you've had just the result that you go, my God, how did that ever happen? Or, don't they understand? Or something like that. And, of course, it turns out, even though it doesn't look good, it may very well have been the exact right thing, may have had the exact right influence, that person 10 years from now will wake up and say, thank goodness he said that to me 10 years ago. So we don't know, and it doesn't depend on what it looks like. It really just depends on living our life on purpose and doing what we're called to do. The Swedish proverb I've shared with you guys before, but I like it. It's a recipe for being happy, I think. Fear less and hope more. Eat less and chew more. By the way, that's food. That is also thoughts. Okay? Take in less and digest it more. Work with what you have. Whine less and breathe more. Talk less and say more. Love more and all good things will be yours. I'll give you this.
How did you start that? Fear less.
Fear less and hope more. You know, it's sort of the optimism pessimism thing. It's that kind of a deal. It's like, great, now I got to figure out, I'm going to look for the good. And I'm going to close my section here with another piece out of Course in Miracles. And it says, when a mind has only light, it knows only light. And this is out of the text, by the way, chapter 7. It goes on to say, its own radiance shines all around it. This is the mind. Its own radiance shines all around it and extends out into the darkness of other minds, transforming them into majesty. The majesty of God is there for you to recognize and appreciate and know. I mean, I want to just underline again, it's there. It's already there. It's always there. And it's just for us to recognize, appreciate it, and know it. And actually, I like that in that order. Probably he did it on purpose. Didn't say, know it, and then you can recognize, and then you can appreciate it. No, you look for it, so you recognize it, and then you appreciate the heck out of it, and then you actually know it. The majesty of God is there for you to recognize, appreciate, and know. Recognizing the majesty of God as your brother, that means as those guys out there that look separate from you right now, is to accept your own inheritance. When I see God in you, I know God in me. God gives only equally. If you recognize his gift in anyone, you have acknowledged what he has given you. So another way for me to say this is to receive only good. You need to know it, and you need to see only good in everyone, everywhere. So I know you have more to say, but that's, for me, it's important to recognize that I am playing on a continuum. And sometimes I know I'm creating my good, and when I forget, then at least I want to be open to receiving good. Until I remember that I'm really part of the creative process. And then when I see it and know it in you, then I know it in me even more.
So I'm gonna perhaps give a little different slant
on
this from a personal standpoint. So some years ago, I usually create a theme for the year, and it was, I now receive all good and only good.
Mm-hmm.
That was my theme for the whole year. And I didn't know why or what it would happen with it, but what I began to recognize is that I'm the chooser, and that I get to choose from everyone and every experience that shows up to receive good or to receive whatever it is they happen to be dispensing or puking and pooping. Because very often that's what people are doing, is they're trying to offload the stuff that doesn't feel good to them. And of course, I'm in the counseling business, you can call it, which is really the listening business that has a lot of other tangents to it. But people come and they say everything, absolutely everything. And I have a choice about what I do with it. I can watch media now, you know, which, by the way, didn't exist when I was a kid, which I'm grateful for, because I lived in a very quiet world that was very silent and very open to what I would say was natural. So now I have a world that just randomly does whatever it does, and I still get to choose. So receiving all good and only good, I need to be discerning. I need to be awake to what it is that I'm receiving. So today, we had a little snack before we came, actually before we had our power nap. And in that snack, I had made some cookies last night, and I decided at the end of it that I was going to have a cookie or two, right? And I said to Robert, first cookie, didn't notice anything. Second cookie, well, let's try this, you know, let's try a second cookie. And what I noticed is that it didn't feel so good in my gut, right? So I had a third cookie. And I'll bet you anything you've done the same thing. I'll bet you that one day you know I shouldn't be eating that, and the next day you go and finish the box or the bag. Or whatever. Right? So I want you to know that I know you because I am you. And I've often asked, why do we do this? Why do we keep trying to outsmart the good, which some would call God? Why, when we feel guilty about something, do we keep doing it? And I want you to know that is almost universally what every human being does. They do something, they have guilt about it, doesn't feel right, and they try it again. Let's see if I can outdo God, the good. Let's see if I can overcome it. Let's see if I can master it. Let's see if I can still lie, cheat, and steal. Let's see if I can still do what I did before that lost a friend or hurt me in some way, right? So as I've looked at this, I realized that if I'm willing to receive all good and only good, I will be open and available to everything from everyone. But my job is to literally let go of everything that's not good, God, for me. And I started out by, I heard in my meditation this thing about landmines, and of course I got these vests and all that stuff to remind me. But what I'll tell you is I think we have landmines every day. I think we have accidents, catastrophes. We have germs constantly in our body and outside of our body. But my own experience is that we don't choose, that we don't discern, that we don't say, is this good for me? And as you age and become more awakened, you feel more and more every little pea in the princess's bed. You feel every slight offness. But do you keep on doing it? Probably. Because there's a way in which we want to maintain the sameness. We repeat the same experiences that hurt. So now I'm going to talk about the body, because I've been looking at the body, and you know, most of you know that it's been a great teacher for me. And I, you know, bodies are not thrilling to me because they are in your face and you do experience them. But I'm going to say to all of us, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I have even the slightest increment of ding in my body, it's actually telling me something there wasn't right. Do I listen? Sometimes Betty Lou does when I have enough silence or I'm not too busy or, you know, somehow I'm attending to myself and wanting to be impeccable, my favorite word, impeccable with myself. But for the most part, what I watch people do is you go ahead and you keep on doing it until your stomach is upset or until you have a cold or until your head has a headache. Or you go and do what I see our world teaching us all to do, is find something, a quick fix, short-term gratification, an aspirin, go to the doctor, get a diagnosis, do this and this and this. And there are layers now. There are so many layers away from our true and natural self. I don't think most of us even know that there's a naturally whole, healthy person inside every one of us. That these bodies were meant to be wholly happy. They were. But we're so off course that we stopped listening and decided to, I will take something external to take care of what I could take care of myself. So there's a line in the course that says, all illness is using the body lovelessly. All illness is using the body lovelessly. Whoa! You mean every ache and pain, every illness, every offness that I have is because somehow I made a choice not to be loving, not to use my whole being in a loving way. And what I'm going to tell you, because I know you've heard me say this, I'm a great experimenter. I mean, it's not always thrilling because they're not always squeaky clean, wonderful results. But this is true. That these bodies were meant to be absolutely perfect. They were created perfectly. And it's because of lack of love or a choice not to live in love, as love, that we have something that hurts. So now I'm going to go to another arena. It's all the same, just different layers. The landmine. The landmine is that some of us only wake up and start to take care of ourselves when we are catastrophically wounded, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, relationally, And by the way, all those things are wake-up calls. Every single upset, every single pain, every single offness is a wake-up call saying, uh-oh, I forgot. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't following the path of love. So I went, this is back in my old Course in Miracles days when I was, I'll say a fanatic. I definitely was a fanatic. I was a purist about this spiritual stuff. And I've allowed myself to enter into the world and try out all these worldly ways. It's been very fascinating, and again, not always thrilling to be in the world, right? But what I looked at in those simple times that came up again a few minutes ago when we were meditating is that peace is the goal. That when I am 100% at peace, in peace, as the peace of God I am in union. I'm home. I'm in heaven. And all is well. And there's no thought or doubt or experience that I'm not the peace of God I am. And my purpose here in a body, is to be happy. It's to be happy. And I know when I'm happy, I'm on it. I'm on the path. My life is working. Everything is literally at one. No bumps, no bruises. And what is my function? What am I to do here? You know, Robert talks about purpose and direction, all that. What am I to do here? If my purpose is to be happy, what I'm to do is forgive. My function is forgiveness. Forgive, erase, delete, let go of everything and anything that's not good for me, that's not God for me, that's not happy for me, that's not healthy for me. And when I am that, now let's talk about us. When I am that, at peace, on purpose and happy, and absolutely, easily, quickly letting go of everything that's not it, that's not God, I am at one with you. There's nothing you can do or say that will hurt me or upset me or scare me or bump me. I am able to be with you and walk with you as you are when you're not at peace, when you are unhappy, and when you are judging. And when I walk with you, I have a choice to receive all good and only good with you, or to forget and start hooking up and taking on your thoughts, your feelings, your habits. And then I find myself not at peace, not happy, judging, and not able to forgive. Now, hopefully my little story about myself, because that is myself I'm talking about, and I get to practice it, probably more than most folks, because I literally sit with someone usually 6 to 8 hours a day, almost 7 days a week these days, because I'm needed right now, in all the stuff they want to puke and poop. And I walk with them, not separate with my, we used to call it angel hand, but with like a shield or an apron on, you know, one of those aprons where they can't splatter on you, you know, and my mask on so I can't breathe the same energy you breathe, and, you know, keeping myself. I actually walk with them, usually leaning forward, not backwards, and listen. But always in me, when I'm conscious, which is most of the time these days, I'm in a process of assisting or facilitating or encouraging a kind of flushing the cosmic toilet or letting go. I do not remember what is said because then I would be carrying their stuff, their pukey stuff for them. I'm in the process of assisting or facilitating as a brother or sister in letting go, letting go, letting go. So there's no afterthought afterwards. There's no gossip for anybody to talk about. There's no, for me, there's no notes to write, even though the law says you write the notes. But that's how we actually have an opportunity to choose. Do we repeat the same stuff by telling the stories about it or talking about it or sharing it with somebody else? Or do we actually help clean it up? Are we the, sometimes I've seen myself and us, the world, as kind of a
backwash system in a pool that's taking in all the stuff that's in the water and cleaning it out. But I have to constantly clean out my system, my filter system, my letting go system. You could call me a garbage collector. I collect the garbage of the world and literally let go of everything that's not of God, that's not good, that's not wholesome and healthy. And I think all of us in the spiritual realm, this kind of setting, these kinds of folks that we are, I think we all have this incredible ability and consciousness to be able to do that, to receive all good and only good, all God and only God. And by the way, if that's not your purpose, I honor you for choosing the purpose that's yours, for learning the things that you're learning. But I definitely know for this girl, that's why I came, that's what I do. So, and by the way, it's not always easy. Sometimes the craft, I'm toning down my words, is pretty deep and pretty thick. And so you have to do a little conscious working to clear it. But I'll tell you, it's well worth it. Because what comes out is a happy person inside who feels at peace with God. And it is daily, if not moment by moment by moment by moment. Because thoughts are things, and they are everywhere, even if you're sitting in your cave on a mountaintop. Thoughts are things, and they're everywhere. And this process of receiving all good and only good is ours to be and do. So, it's yours to, you know, challenge, or give an example of, or question, or share your own purpose or your own way of the good that you're receiving. Or maybe not. Or maybe not. Yes.
This is perfect for me because I've been working on, you know, refining my purpose and stuff, and it kind of builds on riding home a day or two ago, the thought, the Bible scripture that says, "Be ye holy as I am holy."
Mm.
Was perceived as from childhood as be ye holy as the outside God is holy comparatively. Okay, I got to compare, am I holy as thou art holy? And it was so gentle and lovingly, like consciousness level shift, because it says, be ye holy as I am holy. And that's choosing to get in the lower vibration thinking, or to remember, like you always said, remember that I am that divine that is. And so it was really a neat, yeah, now when you hear that, you don't have to say, oh, shit, there's that. Oh, man, I got to compare myself. No, it's like, yes, remember that I am being holy as I am. Yeah. And not only me, but the I am of all. Mm-hmm. And what was a wonderful example of that is whenever this Belgium bombing occurred, and I brought it up on my phone, it was so neat because I was there and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, and I immediately sent Reiki energy to the victim, but the spirit came down so gently and easily and wrapped its arms around me and said, and Ray, you know that this love is for all. And it was so neat because I was like sending genuine, deep, tear running love to the victims and their families. And in that conscious awareness, there was a shift, and it says, and likewise, this equal amount of love is on every one of the terrorists that had the bomb strapped to them because of their belief for the right and highest good. Irrelevant to me. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing. It was like tears flowing. Like, you're right. Mm-hmm. This is true, unconditional love.
Yeah.
And like you said, I felt a whole lot better rather than, oh, yeah, and whatever else. You know, I don't even feel compelled to even go any further. Just to leave it, love, to do what love knows it needs to do, and that's to be love and do the love. So
and
it's powerful.
Peace.
Yeah,
peace.
And that's what it was, perfect peace, where I could say, yeah, I love you, terrorists who put that on you. I love you. And then about an hour later, or sometime not too far later, there was a conscious awareness that they, those with the bombs on them, in the consciousness,
they're calling for love.
They said, I I can't believe you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not because of what I did. You love me. Oh, I love you. And it was a neat transfer of consciousness then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were doing that because of a love that they understood. And it was really neat. So
powerful.
It worked.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, I got this awareness. Somebody had us all looking at how people respond to you giving love, and having us compare, oh my gosh, they didn't get it, or they still don't love me, or, you know, this isn't working. And what I heard, realized, is that anything that's genuinely coming from my heart, my being, my essence, is always received by the other person. That there is nothing that can limit love, that it's always being received. And once you get that, you know there's no limits to your lovingness.
Mm-hmm.
It is what heals us. And by the way, then we stop using that word, terror, because it's our terror that created that name. We need to stop using that word. These are individuals who are calling for our love. Everyone, everyone calling for our love. And you find out how good it makes you feel when you just love them. Yeah, and you're not afraid anymore.
And the route that the Spirit helped me do was, it said, Ray, which terrorist wakes up, opens her eyes in bed, and says, how can I be the evilest, vilest person on the earth?
Yeah,
right. No, they wake up and say, how can I be the holiest, divine follower of my God this day?
Yep.
And blessed is.
Yep. We're all children.
That's right.
And we're all, we really are all children, you guys. And growing up or growing in, it's not up, but it is up in the way we see it, to the infinite, to the all. But growing in is really important for all of us.
Yeah.
Growing in, yeah. So anybody else, any experiences? I'm gonna do some of that. By the way, it's so neat that this is the Reiki master, teacher, facilitator, and his name is Ray.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
The Reiki Ray.
Yeah, Reiki Ray. That is so cool. I wonder how that happened.
Oh, divine. Thanks to y'all.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Thanks to y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. See, some of us are really caught in what we define as being the bad, the evil, the dangerous, the sick. We're caught. We're attracted. We're fascinated. We're fearful. We're seduced by it, right? We're attracted by the yucky stuff. But if we were just kids, do you realize what kids do with yucky stuff? They go bleh until somebody smacks them or tells them, you know, you have to eat it. Good for you, you know, or don't do that, you know. You're supposed to be nice to everybody. I mean, we know what's not good for us. We know it hurts. And we're crying, and moms and dads say, here, take this pill, or here, you have to do it, what the doctor says. But you know what? If we were all natural beings, if we were all natural beings again, without external authority trying to shape us or mold us according to their beliefs, I actually think it would all turn around really quick, and we'd just be happy little kids, hanging out, loving ourselves, loving each other, innocent, free, yeah, at peace. I think we try too hard to follow them or it, and don't take enough time to love and listen to and honor this one. Each of our places inside. Let's take off all the armoring and take away all the crusty stuff and just spend some time at home, right where we live.
Made a statement, and then answered it for me. With the cookies.
Can you talk a little louder, Robert?
Yeah. I was saying she brought stuff up and gave me an answer at the same time when she was talking about the cookies, okay? You know, the question of why do we do those things which we know aren't good for us? Why, if you feel bad after the second cookie, you have a third cookie, you know? And the answer is what you talked about, your function is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because what she said was that we feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to what you said about the Course, say, you know, all illness or discomfort is a result of using the body lovelessly. And if we're created to be love, then we feel guilty when we're not love.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of forgiving, which, by the way, is the spiritual way to clear everything up, is forgive it, meaning basically erase it, undo it, let it go, don't give it any energy. Yes, come back, whatever you need to do to come back to loving yourself again. Mm-hmm. If we feel guilty, what we tend to do is I tend to repeat the behavior to prove to myself that I don't have to feel guilty. There's really nothing wrong with this. I can do this. I can get away with it. I don't have to feel bad about doing that. And so I'm busy trying to prove that it really was okay to do that so that I don't have to feel guilty. It's very, very warped. But it's a way that we perpetuate. Whatever we feel guilty about, we perpetuate that behavior. And I believe it's an attempt to actually make it okay so we don't have to feel guilty. Try to alleviate our guilt. And
also
what you
the
said,
mind,
the thing is forgiveness. Yeah.
Just a little educational thing. So the mind has been trained to do right, be right, always, no matter what.
Yeah.
So by our parents, I'll say parents right now, but it's all generations for all time. We are taught to do the right thing, which is what I tell you to do is right. And so the mind is trained to always be right. So what it wants is it wants to prove itself right. You know, everything I do is right. See, I'm going to show you. So this mind has been trained, learned, to always be focused on proving itself right. There's another line from Course in Miracles, which is, would you rather be right or be happy? Well, I already said to you, our purpose is to be happy. I know if I'm happy, it's all good. It's all God. But if I'm trying to be right, and most of us get righteously right about just about everything, but we like that rightness, you know, proving ourselves right and having all the reasons and all that stuff, you know, I'm right. There's an easy smiling over there. And that's where all the fights come from and all the violence and all the craziness, and the doctor wants to be right and we have to make him right so he'll treat. I mean, you could go on and on and on. I mean, it's a world of rightness, right? And what's interesting about that is that whole dilemma of right wrong has us totally distracted from being happy. I don't care what's right, I want to be happy. You know, I want to be at peace. You know? So I'm going to let go of what's right. You're right, my right, our right. I mean, it's all different. So how about if I just facilitate, support my own happiness, and then from my happy place, I want you to be happy too. Doesn't have, you know how, we spend a lot of time with kids, and we like that. We learn a lot. I especially learn a lot. So the kids are thinking that there's a right way to play a game, or it's right to win the game. And then they make the person who's not winning unhappy or feel wrong. And then they fight about how you need to do it in order to win. That's what we're all doing in these big old bodies, you guys. We're all playing that right-wrong game. Should we turn here? Should we turn there? Should we do this or do that? Should we eat now or eat later? I mean,
you know,
anybody listening? Yeah. That's really what I want to say. Is anybody listening inside? Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just, I just flash back to, and I don't actually remember what age it was, but there's some place, you know, for the kids, some place at 2 or 3, and, probably 3, but, you know, every game, it's like the rules of the game would change every minute,
mm-hmm.
or every 2 or 3 minutes.
Because they're creating.
Yeah, you know, well, let's play it this way, and what I realized is that the biggest gift to me was to be willing to play it however they want to play it in that moment in time. Because the temptation is, no, these are the rules of the game. Let me teach you how to play checkers. Let me teach you how to play chess. Let me teach you how to play, you know, whatever this is, you know, and this is the right way to do it. So there's an age in there where kids are not thinking in terms of what's right, but they drive the adults crazy because they're always changing the rules because they're experimenting. And so at some point in time, the adults win. The adults say there is a right way. You do have to go to bed. You do have to eat your vegetables, you know, whatever it is. And then the kids learn, okay, there is a right way, and if I want to be, you know, happy and not punished, you know, then I've got to do that. And so being right then becomes our protection, our defense against the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, okay? As long as we're right, nobody will pick on us.
So learning to be obedient is good. Learning to be obedient is good. What if God, being obedient to God, is really being happy and free?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of following some rules that are externally decided on. You know, what if what we've done is we've trained our minds so that our minds are looking for the right way, the right box, the right path, the right words, the right lifestyle, instead of really freeing ourselves up to go within again to the God being, the God presence that placed inside each of us just happy and free, just us being. And when we go to that place, that's right, it will be in the valley of love and delight, you know, or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift to be simple. It's a gift, that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that song is telling us. It's telling us. So, no matter how old or how young we are, I think all of us can take just a moment, maybe in private, because you don't want anybody to know, just go inside and find out what that little young, innocent, natural person is actually calling forth from you. And I'll bet you're going to find in there a place, I just want to be happy. I just want to love. I just want to love. That's why we like being with dogs. I'm just thinking about bringing your puppy here. You know, we like being with dogs because it seems like we can be anything and they love us. Right? And if we could just be that, if we could be that happy and free, we could be with anyone and absolutely be happy with ourselves and happy with them. Yeah.
Robert had been thinking about the Bible and the Old Testament versus the New Testament. So in Deuteronomy, I didn't realize this, but it talks about walking in the right path.
Mm-hmm.
I think was the scripture that you were from.
Yeah.
And it ties into me with what we're saying is trying to be good, trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, the else that the Israelites got themselves into by the whole, in my opinion, the whole way that they were trying to live. In the New Testament, I forget if it's in Corinthians, it might be in Corinthians, but it talks about that He will make our path straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I heard Ray mention about, and I wrote it down, but it's following the I am within us, that there's a completely different way of it
interpreted.
Right.
Mm.
So it's not walking the way and then things will work out. It's being open to Him making our pathway straight. So that was one thing that I wanted to share. The other thing was I didn't hear in the beginning what the topic was. I didn't hear it as being
receiving only good.
Receiving only good. I heard it as perceive only good.
Oh, that's
wow.
Good. Yeah.
That's good. That's the only way we'll get it, huh?
Thank you. Yeah.
My own experience by experimenting with inner listening, you know, which is my deal, not reading books, but listening inside for the inner guidance of the inner wisdom. And my first experience, which was powerful, giving up everything, giving up my home, my children, my way of life, I mean, literally everything, that I heard the guidance. It was about November of 1976, and I began following that guidance. It was to literally create a home of infinite love that everybody could come to. I began following that guidance, watched people show up. There were 8 women who were going to join together, and all it was kind of like a new age monastery, I'll call it. You know, we were all going to wear the same clothes and all this stuff. And literally, over a 9-month period,
One by one, each of the women were guided to let go and go back to their homes or do something else with their lives, and I was left. And I had sold my home. I had followed guidance to actually make an offer on this huge, beautiful home. And I did all kinds of miracles about this. But there was no one there except for me. And so my home was letting go. And what I thought was, oh, God's going to save me, the old church story, biblical story. And so a family came that I did not know. He was an attorney and children and all kinds of things. And I said yes, thinking it was it. Well, within, let's see, that would have been September. So by, and we moved in December. And by February, March, the final straw was April. Everything lined up to have me go ahead, but I never stopped to listen again. I was doing what I heard the first moment. And it turned out to be the House of Horrors, meaning there was all kinds of crazy stuff and my kids not happy and so on and so forth, because I was the mother and father. I provided the income and I provided the counseling and led the groups, and there was no one home, really, because I couldn't beat it. I mean, I was there, but couldn't beat it. So what I learned from that, someone came into my life and said, Betty Lou, you know, who's taking care of nurturing your children? And I went, uh-oh, I haven't been here. The wake-up call came like a landmine, actually. I won't describe it, but there were landmines along the way. And I stopped and I listened again, and it simply was this. I did not listen day by day to the guidance from within, because external circumstances are changing every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not listening every moment, you're over here following the path that you thought you heard a year ago or even a day ago, and it's no longer there. So inner listening for me, or that right path you're talking about, is literally, and Robert has this thing he says about the shortest distance between
two points is a crooked line that goes around all the obstacles. You just have to know when you turn right, when you turn left, but it's constant moving, and that way you avoid all the problems. But everything is moving. All the parts are moving out there. And what she's saying is you've got to keep listening, because today's guidance says, okay, now today here's the traffic report. Go this way. All right, today here's the traffic report. Now go this way.
Mm-hmm. Powerful lesson, yeah.
You know, I just had a thought like this moment. Thank you for touching on this topic, everything. Our dreams, I don't sleep real well sometimes. So our dreams kind of, they resolve, I understand, the future events that might happen, and so we do it for that reason. Also, the past events, which
mm-hmm.
involving both past and future.
Mm-hmm.
And that said, is I journal like crazy, so I think my journaling possibly might be a substitute for dreams, or an addition to maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember my dreams,
mm-hmm.
But it's really helpful. I wrestle with some of these things, with the obstacles that you're speaking about,
mm-hmm.
Robert. I wrestle with some of those on paper. And then I can just let it go. It's a done deal. I've got it. I've been there. And then the good thing about it is when it comes up in the future, which it will, then I just say, oh, okay, I know that one. I'm really fine. Just take trapdoor spiders. I see life as a kid. I used to play with trapdoor spiders. All kind of.
He probably can't hear you. Can you hear? He can't hear you at all.
I used to play with bugs and salamanders and all kinds of little things. There are these trapdoor spiders. They got like a little door, they got a hole that goes in the ground, spiders kind of little door. And so if I'm suspecting bugs that come along, they'll fall in and then they'll get swallowed and eaten up by the trapdoor spider.
See Rick doing this.
As a metaphor, life's kind of like that. There's all these little traps out there that seduce us into all kinds of...
They're landmines. That's
like
the landmines I was talking about.
Exactly.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm just working on paper. For me anyway, seems to be my way of, it's kind of like anti-venom. I kind of, you know, give myself some snake venom that's
yeah.
very weakened, and,
yeah.
and I shoot myself.
A vaccination, yeah.
I'm vaccinating myself. I used to do that with my daughter. We used to play a game called For Real and For Pretend.
Okay.
And I would vaccinate her. I said, here we go, and here's a lesson. So I would kind of like vaccinate her with a weakened version of whatever it was we were learning. And then and then we'd say, okay, now that was to go into pretend mode, like we do the enact the event. And then when she had it, when she got the concept, then we would send back to for reals again, and it was just all forgotten. We'd move right along again. It was really great.
Uh-huh.
Really good.
And we're all doing it all the time. We're just not doing it consciously.
For real, pretend. For real, pretend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I'm gonna I want to kind of sum
yeah.
up what you were saying, because Robert was talking about creating and I was talking about receiving. So I'm going to say in my own way, I believe that we are creating the lessons or the experiences we have to discern between
yeah.
the good we want to receive and what's not good that we don't want to receive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we're continuously creating experiences from which we can learn to choose that which is God or good or right for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
On this dream thing, was going on since earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and share it because it's about that right and wrong.
Yeah.
And it was a lucid dream I had about my mom and I at a previous time where we had this stove, you know, like made of clay and stuff, and she pulled something out of it, and I was about teen years, like whenever you step into that adulthood and stuff, she pulls out this white round thing that has an image on it, and she's like, Dana Ray, it's time now for you to take on the mantle of this belief that has been passed down from generations, that if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. And so beating a child is an absolute necessity in being a proper parent. And I said, Mom, I love you, but in due respect, I'm choosing not to take on that belief.
Wow.
And she dropped it on the ground and it shattered. And there was like seven generational elders
yeah.
that stood up over us, looked down and said, what the hell is going on down there? And at that very moment, my mom just started bawling and said, Dana Ray, thank you. And we just hugged each other and
wow.
was crying. And it was like, yes, we
That's
are
cool.
the co-creators. To either take a belief that was passed down about beating a child to make it
mm-hmm.
right or wrong,
yeah.
or not,
yeah.
and it was just so neat. And sure enough, it was like mm-hmm. to see these generations rise up, and they too had to become aligned
yep.
with that new choice
yeah.
that was made by me.
Yeah.
And it was so neat. It was really
yeah.
cool. We are co-creators
yeah.
of the highest
yeah.
good.
We are powerful.
So if you guys can, next Saturday, come early, we will be doing Life Purpose. And then from 9:30 to 12. And I think it will be a little different take than what we've had building on today, actually. And then in the afternoon, then from 3:45, our meditation time, until 5, we'll have our last interfaith fellowship here this in the afternoon.
So I'm hearing to sing, and you can sing with me, with us, or listen, whatever. It's in
every one of us to be wise. Find your heart, open up both your eyes. We can all know everything without ever knowing how. It's in every one of us here and now.
And that's
yes.
true.
Yes.
Bless us all. Good,
thank
good,
you,
good,
thank
good.
Thank you,
good.
Thank you, guys.
Very, very, very much.
So we're going to start this up again sometime, I hope.
Have no